Welcome to the Big in Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Hey, you've come on a great day today. We are going to be kicking off into our legacy series today for 2026. And I actually gave this message a title, Giant Slayers.
Ooh.
I never give messages like titles, but I just feel this in my spirit, Giant Slayers. And so we're going to get straight into the Word of God. If you've got your Bible with you, I want you to open to 1 Samuel 17, 41 to 50. This is the moment where a little shepherd boy named David is standing before Saul, and Saul's like, hey, take my armor, put it on. You can fight Goliath. And he goes, it doesn't fit. Not going to fit me today. And he goes away and he's like, don't worry about it. Goes down to a stream and finds 5 stones. Perfect to kill a giant. And then he comes back to Goliath. We're going to pick up where he approaches Goliath. Anyone seen House of David? I mean, we could watch the scene from that, but it's not biblically correct. So don't want you to say heresy. But I'm going to read this moment. It says this, meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little, more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. Have you ever thought about that? Goliath's like, he's just so good looking, I hate him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I'll give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved close to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. Everyone's like, yes, death. You know, like, this is one of my favorite stories ever. You know, and as we enter into this series, this legacy season over the next 4 weeks, I just want to declare that just like David back then killed Goliath, we too are giant slayers, giant killers. And not because we think we're tough or big or strong, but as David said, small in stature, we know that God's on our side, amen? And we know that if God is for us, then who can be against us? You know, I love this statement. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And today, we're going to have a look at some future giants, but we're going to celebrate some victories. You know, we've been on a victorious journey for the last 5 years, and we're going to be looking at that this morning. You know, God's brought us this far. He's not going to leave us. He's a God of victory, and our biggest year of victory is coming this year. Amen? Amen? So let's just pray. God, I just thank you that you are victorious, that we have you on our side. You are for us, not against us. And because of you, we can put our faith in you that things that people say cannot be done can be done in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for this church. We thank you for this city. We thank you for the Redlands. The great Redlands of the Holy Spirit, a good friend once used to always say. Jesus, we just thank you that you're going to reach this city and we'll have a part to play in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome to what I believe is one of the craziest journeys ever, being part of Beacon Church over the last 5 years. And maybe you are just joining us. Maybe you've only been here for the last few months and you don't know our story. And so I'm going to be sharing a bit of that today. And I'm telling you now, this next 4 weeks, we are going to talk about money, but it's not about money, it's about miracles. Honestly, it's about miracles. It's about what God has done, what he's doing, how you're part of it. You're part of the journey. And really, all this 4 weeks and this legacy series is not about you, actually. I hate to say it's not about you. It's not even about your future kids. It's not even about Josiah and Bella's Ben. It's about the generations beyond that. You see, we call this series Legacy because legacy's actual definition is this. Up on the screen, it says something such as a personal property or money that is willed to someone by a person who has died. You're like, I don't want to die. And yeah, I'm not saying go and die, all right? We're going to hand it over. What I'm saying is that when you leave a legacy, you leave something for future generations. And over the last 5 years, we've been doing this legacy series because I'm so passionate about the future. I'm passionate about what God wants to do in the Redlands in the future, beyond Beck and I, beyond the next pastors, beyond the next pastors. There will always be a home in this city for people to come and worship Jesus. Do you agree? Like, I just want to make sure. Some of you are like, maybe. I hope you see it. Because quite frankly, we are giving a gift to future generations. Like when you sow into legacy, you're not sowing into you. You know, I know that sometimes we go, as where's my building? It's not about you. It's about future generations. Yes, you'll get to live in it and enjoy it. But this is about actually having vision for the future. It's about vision be well beyond us. And if we can get that in our spirit, that like, I'm going to leave a gift for someone that I don't even know. That changes everything. It's like, wow. In fact, we live in the legacy of those gone before us in this church. The fact you're sitting on those chairs right now, you're living in the legacy of generosity of 28 years. 28 years of this church. 28 years. An amazing, amazing community. Over the last 5 years, it's been extraordinary. Hundreds of people have put their, you know, I feel like they've just put their finance on the line, but their faith on the line as well. Today, I'm going to share what God has taken us through. But I do want to actually really just want to say thank you to those that have gone before us. I tell you what, this church is an amazing church. You don't understand how much you're inspiring the nation right now. Like, you are inspiring the nation. You might not understand it, but every time I get in a room with a different pastor, Beck and I were down in Adelaide last week at a conference, and not actually an INC conference, another movement, just starting to share a little bit about what God's doing in this church. And it inspires. It's like a faith resurrection. There's stuff going on in the hearts of pastors going, if God can do that in the Redlands, can he do it for us as well? It's absolutely incredible. Now, you might go, what's this all about? If you don't know, we are not staying here forever in this building. Maybe, as I said, you might just be new to this. This is not our home. This is a rental. We're on the move, by the way. We are on the move. And we are now in like the most incredible season. As of July 1, we are 12 months away from getting keys to a giant shed. Like, now, it's a shed. I mean, it is a shed. And I've got faith that in this season, I mean, if there was ever a time to pull the trigger on getting involved, it's now. There is a 12-month period, the time is ticking. You know, there's sometimes you go, oh, one day down the future, it's like, no, it's now. Like, we're in conversations with the current tenants. It's coming and coming very, very fast. You know, in 2021, we started this legacy idea that we would have a home. In fact, what I love about having a podcast up online is you can go listen to every story. You can go back and go, oh, he's not lying. Like that happened, you know. Like sometimes we go, oh, yeah, he's got some good stories. No. On May the 23rd in 2021, we launched the idea that we would have a home. That it was the week after that Beck and I got set apart as pastors here. Said, hey, here's your new pastors. And the next week we said, we want to raise money, right? And it's like, that's the last thing you want to do in church, right? Like, there's some people say, don't talk about money at all. And then we decided first week, let's get in, right? Like, it was quite crazy. But one of the things that I said back then, and I'll say it again, my heart in these next 4 weeks is you get the heart that I just love giving. And I said it in that, I hope you capture the joy that is generosity. Like Jesus said, it's better to give than receive. Like God doesn't lie. There's something so supernatural when you can release what God has given you and just trust him. Like just go, God, you just have it. And in the scripture, it says 2 Corinthians 9:6-8, it says this, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Notice that. We do not make you do anything. By the way, seriously, if there's any reluctancy in your heart because you feel like your arm's being twisted, just don't do it. Like, there should be no compulsion in it. It should just be this place of, oh, I want to be part of it. Like, I'm so excited about this. I want to be part of it. And it says, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Back in May 2021, I started to share how I just love giving. And it's been probably my greatest joy over the last 20 years. I never thought I was going to be a pastor. I thought I'd just be a giver, to be honest. I actually wanted to be the guy that never was on a stage. I was like, I just want to help that guy. Don't ever put me on staff. God had a different idea. So it's been a bit weird, but I'm excited about it. I hope you grasp what God's done in my life. And over these last 5 years, I've said this multiple times, God's not a genie. God isn't someone who gives you three wishes. God's a gardener. And the very first message of this year, I talked about the seed and the harvest, that God has given us everything we need. As a church community, as a Beacon Church in the Redlands, he's given us everything that we need, and he's just given it in the form of a seed. It's just something so small. And sometimes we go, our seed's nothing. But it's actually, it's so much more than you can understand. God multiplies the seed. He grows it. Sometimes we do nothing because we're comparing our seed with someone else's tree. But I've only got a seed. God's like, don't compare it with that. They started 20 years ago. You just need to start right now. Luke 16:10-12 says this, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with very much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And you have not been trusted with someone else's property, who will give you the property of your own? You know, I'm really happy to say for many years, for 28 years, this church has been trustworthy with a little and grown to what it is today. If you don't know the story of this church, it's incredible. In 1998, this was simply just a connect group. There was a connect group that got sown out of City Point where the INC conference is this year. Little connect group, life group, came out to the Redlands and went, let's start a life group for those that are coming from the Redlands. That was back in 1998. In 1999, there was a planted church here. They went, hey, let's start a church. There was more people came. They said, hey, let's have a church in the Redlands. 2002, they decided we're going to be a standalone church. We're actually going to start our own church in the Redlands under the INC banner. And then in 2007, we actually moved into this current building. How crazy is this? In 2007, the church moved into this building. Next year, it's 20 years of being in this building. Now, what's crazy is originally it was just this building for kids' church as well as main church, right? And so they were able to fit everyone in. If you were part, who's part of them, been part of that journey? Is there a few of you? You've been part of that journey, right? So you're like, yes, me. Yeah, you know, at the back there. Okay, come forward, come forward. In 2014, this space wasn't big enough. And so they went, we need more space for kids' church. So they got next door because it was just growing. And they were like, we don't have enough space to have everyone in one building. So that was 2014. So there was growth. When we needed, and how cool is the space up there? Like, so much space for our kids. I love that. And then in 2022, we didn't have enough space for the adults. So we knocked down a wall about halfway through this building and moved the auditorium out to make more space. And in 2025, we bought a building. We bought a building. And I want to show you a picture of the building we bought. There it is. So beautiful. It's a big old shed. But it's going to be a future home. It's going to be a future home. And we actually, when we bought this building, we shared last year, we got a building. And it was amazing. And we were like, AI, what could it look like? And we put this up. We got that. Oh yeah, right. Yeah, and you all went, oh wow. And then there was another. Do you have another version of it? I mean, I love AI. Yeah, like okay, just a bit more. Keep it. Yeah. But here's the thing. You keep flicking between left, right. Anyway, so here's the thing. By the way, this is not actually our vision for what we see for our building. We've actually been doing more consultancy of the style of building. This is not the building, but it is actually where we want to head. Actually, no, before we go there, you need to see inside the shed. So we've got a video inside this big old shed that we have to fit out. So have we got that video? So that's the shed. We showed you a big black box, but we've actually got a different vision for what it might look like. So here's some design elements of really the style that we want it to be. Maybe go the next one. Oh, yeah. Go back again. Now, what's great is Tim goes, when will we actually get real designs? Because those cars are huge. They love AI. And what is with that car park, right? Now, go back to the other one. Now, here's the thing. And by the way, to the left of that, there's actually about 100 car parks. That's not. We've got 4 car parks. We're doing 22 services, right? I love AI, right? And so the question was, why have we not done some, why haven't we done actual proper design work? We are in the stage at the moment where before we can even do the design stage, we need to get change of use at council where they actually let us have a church there. And so later this morning, we're going to pray as a church that that first door unlocks. We're talking faith stuff here, right? We are talking faith stuff here. Now, Sam, I don't want you to put the next slide up yet, okay? So just don't do that, all right? So, but who knows that this is a giant project? All right, who wants to do it? Just looking for a okay, project manager, Isaiah Rowan. I don't have to do it anymore. So good. Anyway, so it's a giant project. And today, I just want to share how we take down a giant. How do you take down a giant like that? I believe that God has given us inspiration. This journey has been amazing for the last 5 years. In the next 12 months, as we have the hand of God, that favorable hand of God on our community, I believe that God is going to give us the ability to prepare ourselves through practical stuff, but also faith. I just feel it's going to be done. It will be done. Like, I'm like, we've come this far. It's going to happen, right? Like, it's going to happen. And that's where it brings us back to the story of David and Goliath. You know, before that moment where David is running with a sling at the giant, like, there's this, I love that it says he ran towards him, right? Like, this little kid, Isaiah Rowan, he's running. Actually looks like you. I was like, that's Isaiah Rowan. That's why you're the project manager. Anyway, so he runs at the giant. And we know, like, because when you've been in church a long time, you know, well, he can run at the giant because you heard it. Or he killed the lion and the bear beforehand. So he's got this courage to take down a giant, this kid with a sling. And even moments before the battle, I mean, he was prepared in that sense. He'd killed some pretty big things. But even the moment before he gets to this moment, he has a moment where he says to the soul, I won't wear your armor. And he goes down to a stream, picks out 5 rocks. And he's like, I need to get prepared. I know the sort of weapon I need to take down a giant. I know what sort of rock is going to take him out. And he collects those stones. He's preparing himself even moments before this moment. He prepared in the natural. But what really set David apart was his preparation, having faith that God would move on his behalf. And this morning, I want to share where he got that faith from. Have you ever thought about little David? Little redhead David, it says. Any redheads in the room? Big Red. Nicole. The redheads, the heroes of faith. Okay? Ever wonder where David got his faith from? Like, the thing is, we all go, oh, he's so courageous because he killed the lion and the bear. But seriously, when he goes to Saul, there's an entire army there, terrified. And this army goes out to war every year. There are mighty men amongst them. They would have killed men. They would have gone into war. Like, they have, I mean, these guys are heroes of war, yet they are terrified of Goliath. So where, I mean, they've done stuff before too. They've probably killed lions and bears. Like, so what separates David? Like, where does he get this courage from? Where does he get it from? Today I want to share with you what I believe the foundation of who David was actually came from a line of giant killers. You see, in David's tribe DNA, they were giant killers. Now, what you may not understand is this is not the first time in the Bible where the Israelites had to kill giants, by the way. It's not the first. They've killed giants before. And in David's tribe DNA, he knew that they were giant killers. I'm going to have a look at this right now. We're going to go back 400 years prior to this moment. And we're going to have a look at a moment where Moses is just about to send some spies in to the promised land. They've been in the wilderness. They know they're about to take the promised land. They have to go overcome it, go to the place God's called them to. And Moses sends out some spies to figure out how good is this promised land. We're going to read this in Numbers 13. The Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send out one of its leaders." So the Lord commanded Moses to send and sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. These are their names, and you can read the names up here, okay? We got that up there. Look at these names. You've got from the tribe of Reuben, Shemua. From the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat. I love these names. I can't pronounce them. I bet you Dillia could. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb. That's a good one. From the tribe of Issachar, Eagle. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea. The tribe of Benjamin, Palti. There's Gadiel. There's Gadi, Amiel, Setha, Nabi, Gil. And it says, these are the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land. Moses gave Hoshea, the son of Nun, the name Joshua. This is where I really want to get to, though. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. If you read about this, there's bunches of grapes that two men have to hold. Like this is a ripe area and it was harvest time, so they got to see the best of the best. They gave Moses this account. "We went into the land which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan." Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak came from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." Can we just come back to Caleb? In verse 30, it says, "Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, 'We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it.'" Verse 6, it says, "From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, son of whatever his name is." If you didn't know this, when they were in the desert, God divided up the Israelite people into 12 tribes, to try and kind of keep some order amongst the people. Different leaders, different tribes, 12 tribes. When they got sent into the promised land, there was only two that came back that had a positive report. But the only one that actually spoke up in defiance was Caleb from the tribe of Judah. What tribe was David from? Judah. It says in 1 Samuel 17:12, "Now David was the son of an Ephratite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time he was very old." 2 Samuel 2:4 says, "Then the men of Judah came to Hebron." This is when he gets appointed as king. "They anointed David king over the tribe of Judah." Are you starting to get something? I want you to get this. We have no proof that David was a bloodline to Caleb, but he was part of the same tribe, the same community that were known as giant killers. They were giant slayers. They were the ones that went, "God's with us." They were the community that were full of faith that it can be done. And so all of David's life, he was growing up in a community that said, "We kill giants." Have you heard the stories of old? We kill giants. If you don't believe me, later on, after the promised land, they go in, Joshua says to Caleb, "What part do you want in the promised land? What part do you want? Like, tell me which part you'd like to go after and defeat to be your own." Notice this in Joshua 14, 12 to 14. It says this, "Now give me," this is amazing. Caleb goes, "Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as I said. The land of Anak is the land of giants. Caleb's like, give me the giants. I'm going to destroy them because God promised me the land of the giants. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of, and gave them to Hebron. On the podcast, there's a Hebrew meaning for that. So Hebron belonged to Caleb's son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since. Because this is why he gets the land of the giants. Because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly, he took the land that no one else could take. He went, I want the land the giants are in. And 400 years later, there's this little shepherd boy who's growing up in a community, in a tribe named Judah. It was probably the thing that gave him courage to know he could take down a lion and a bear. We used to take down giants. The fact that I'm here is because of my ancestors who took down giants. I'm a giant killer. It was in his DNA. It was in his DNA. They say it was 8 to 15 generations between Caleb and David. But Judah, he was still part of it. Now, Beacon, before I go any further, you are called to kill giants. Why? What tribe was Jesus from? Judah. The scriptures talk about it in Genesis 49 to 10. It says, the scepter will not depart from Judah. Micah 5, 2, the ruler of Israel will come from Bethlehem, a town in Judah. Hebrews 7, 14, for it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah. Revelation 5, 5, then one of the elders said to me, do not weep, see the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Can you see what I'm saying today? If you're in Christ, you're a giant killer. And you're the one that can run towards your enemy and go, I'm victorious. I know where I come from. He overcame sin and death. Talk about a victory. There's only one tribe that called it out and said, let's go after it. We have to remind ourselves where God has brought us from and where we can go when he calls us to a new place. In front of us, can we get that photo of that building up again? Just the original shed. In front of us is a giant. It is a monster. I'm only little in stature. Might dye my hair red. Anyway, but we're only little. Honestly, this church is only little. But it's about to take on the biggest giant ever. Do something that's never been done before, but we can go in with confidence to take the ground. Because we are part of Christ. We are in him. And he shows us that there are victories in him. So I want to talk to you about some victories that have happened so far. Because I'm sure David must have had that in the back of his mind. I've killed a bear before. I've killed a lion before. I can kill this guy too. And what we need to do is remind ourselves of the victories God has given us as a church in the last 5 years. So I'm just going to quickly go through them. You ready for this? 2021. God clearly gave me a vision when we first came here. I said to Beck, I think we've been called to come to this church to get this church a home. We need to get a home. Let's go get a home. And I was like, let's do it. And so first week in 2021, we were set apart. We declared we're going to get a building. Now, I admit my faith was bigger than God's timing. I said, 18 months to 2 years, we're going to be in a building. What I didn't know, there's a giant that came around. It was called the biggest surge in property prices ever. You know, when we came here, the market was flat and overnight, it just went bang, right? And I remember giant number one, I'm like, what do we ask this community? We don't even know this community really. And really felt God say, look, this place, by the way, we had a sound desk that was being held together by blue tack and gaffer tape. And I thank God for that sound desk, right? I do. But it was like, we kind of need to upgrade the sound because it sounded like a garage band, like crazy, like, ricocheting sound. Who remembers the good old days? Yeah, I mean, Ray, you were up the front just rocking out. But we needed to upgrade some sound equipment. Things were broken. We had to do some stuff. And I remember we came to the church and we said, church, we want to raise $100,000. And we need to do this because we need to, first and foremost, we're going to upgrade the stuff that's broken now. And whatever's left over, we'll put towards a future building fund. We're going to start raising some. There was no building fund, right? There was no money in an account for a building. And so we launched that. And as giants go, they torment, right? And instantly after we launched that, there were the negative reports, right? Like, who are you? You come over with sticks. You know, it felt a bit that way. People are like, we can never, what are you doing asking this church for $100,000? We've never done that before. And it's too big. We don't do that here. We've never done that in 23 years. In 2021, you as the church slayed a giant. $254,275 came in. That was a good moment. That was like, what? And you know, it's interesting that those voices, just so you know, it wasn't everyone. I didn't have like an email, another one saying you can't do it. What's interesting is that when you have vision and you go after something in your life you know God's calling you to, you could have 99 people in your corner and just one negative voice, and that's the thing that sticks. It really was. It was only a very small voice. But I tell you what, those little voices that say you can't, man, don't they just jam you? Like, they just like, they get in your spirit. You're like, oh my gosh, is it possible? But we hold on to the fact that God is victorious. We step out in faith. We're people of faith. We don't just sit there and go, well, it's never been done before. Well, why not? God can do it. $254,000 came in and I thought, we're on here. And then interest rates went up and building prices doubled and tripled and, you know, we never caught up. But the truth is, every victory comes with new giants. I mean, as I said, the biggest real estate boom occurred. And I said, you know, it would be in 2 years. And then God was like, humble yourself as. So year two came around in 2022. And I'm like, God, we're just going to be faithful with what you've given us. We're coming to legacy again. What do I ask the people that just gave $250,000? Like, they've never given this, apparently, even 100, and now they've done this. And so maybe we've just emptied out all the bank accounts. And they're like, we're eating rice now. You know, like, it's Weet-Bix for breakfast, lunch, and tea. I don't know. And the Holy Spirit was just telling me, ask them for 300. I'm like, you want to triple? It's the same group. Some have left. Like, you want me to ask, and it was just as clear as they ask for 300. I'm like, that is ridiculous. But, you know, we're people of faith that step out into places we do not know. You can't live a life with God and not have faith. If you figured it out, it's not faith. It's like, and so I was like, I remember saying to Beck, we're going to ask for 300. As you can imagine, some people got a little louder. Some people started, as I said, like, it's a small percentage of people that said, you can't do that. Like, you can't. Like, you know, things are tough. You know, and so there's all of these voices that come against you and say, you cannot step out into a faith zone. And I just thought, no, God, we got to ask. So we asked for 300. We went, huh, and I remember your faces. Seared into my memory. How dare you, short man? I think you were thinking you're out of control. Can I say, the minority, those people that came with negative reports, just want you to know something. They moved on, but God kept moving. Yeah. Truly. That year, $311,847 came in. I was like, okay, Jesus, good. Now, in 2023, this is what I said, you can listen to all the podcasts. Go back. This is an insane story, right? So go back to 2023, my first message on the 22nd of May. Go and have a listen to it. Felt God was saying, you need to talk about the power of your words in taking ground. I shared about the words of the negative spies and the words of Caleb and Joshua. I'm like, what's crazy in that story is I said, like, if you bring a negative report, don't expect to get to the promised land. If you're going to be the person that sends the email or calls me and says you can't do it, I'm telling you, you're not coming with us. Because it was those who had a positive report and had faith that kept going. Now, what's super interesting with that whole message, I was like, hey, let's just speak with faith. I actually shared on the 5th of June in 2023 on David and Goliath. Kind of crazy. And said that God's going to do something amazing and he's going to open a door. I know that he's got a building for us. And the very next week in Legacy, a building opened up around the corner. Remember that? Where the Salvos are now. It was like an opportunity was there. And I was like, whoa, there has been no building. I mean, I have scoured this city, like every possible property. Like I've looked at everything. Beck will know. She's like, you're obsessed. I'm like, I know God's got a building for us. So that came up 400 meters away and they told us, oh, 12 million for that building. And I'm like, well, if God wants us to have it, I mean, it would be great moving. I mean, 400 meters down the road, you know, like, and so I shared that with the church. I said, I don't know if it's as or not, but it was actually in that season. I shared this, go listen to the podcast. I said, cause I said, God, David had a pebble, a small rock that killed Goliath. What is the small stone we need to take down a giant when it comes to a building? If we're going after something worth $12 million, what's the stone you need? What do I need to go and collect before I can throw it at the giant? And so I felt clearly in my spirit, you need $1 million. And so that year I said, I'm actually not putting a number on what we're going to raise this year, but I do believe, I declared, I just said, well, God placed on us. He said, $1 million, if you get to that number, I'll unlock your door, I'll unlock the building for you. You just need that as your pebble. Because it was very clear, you have to, here's the thing about God. God doesn't do everything. We partner with him. We bring our best, he does the rest, right? You don't just go, well, God, just do it all. He goes, I've given you something. Do something and let me show you what I can do. So that was the message. And so there was a giant there and you know what happens next? A bunch of people told me, you can't go to that building. I had a guy call me up, once again, moved on, you know. Guy came and berated me. There's not enough car parks there. How dare you tell the... I'm like, we've got vision. If God wants to do it, he'll do it. I don't have all the answers. I have faith to believe that my God is bigger than circumstances. And he's like, I don't like it. See ya. Now, by the way, it sounds like I'm being harsh, but as I said, it's like a small percentage, but every time there is a giant, there is torment. There is always someone who has a negative... You cannot do anything in this life without someone coming at you with a negative voice. Sometimes it's those closest to you. Just understand, if you are called to take ground in this life, you will have that negative voice. You have to stick to your faith and just keep going. And so I just said to the church, God... I said to the church, I said, hey, look, we just need to get to $1 million. That was all I said that year. I said, hey, we're not even halfway to $1 million. But if you want to give, I believe God's going to unlock something at $1 million. You can go back and listen to that. And so that year, in 2023, another $320,000 came in. From the same people. Now, what's amazing about you guys is that We honestly don't. I talk to some pastors and they go, oh, yeah, I got this guy that wrote $1 million check or two. And look, I'm believing for the day. I'm believing this year there'll be $100,000 checks and there will be checks that blow my mind. But here's what I love about our community. We don't have those people. We just have people who are just like faithful. You're all doing it. You're all part of it. It's amazing. And so another 320 came in, and I know for Beck and I, our faith was growing. God, we're on track. And Beck and I would talk about this million. When we hit $1 million, God's going to unlock it. And then, you know, we had that come in and I actually was like, oh, maybe we can go to our landlord who has this and we could ask if we could buy his building. Because historically, I mean, we just inherited this, but we'd heard stories that he'd always said that if you ever want to buy it, come and talk to me. So there was just these stories. So I organized a meeting and went to the guy and I sat with him and I said, hey, we're saving for our own building. I'd heard that in the past you'd said you'd sell us your building if we ever got to that place. Will you sell the building to us? And he goes, no, it's never going to be for sale. I don't know where you came up with that. And he got quite defensive about it and got annoyed that we were saving for a building. And so within the next short period of time, what did he do? He doubled our rent. So you know, you're going, yeah, we're winning. And then another giant. Like, it's quite interesting when you're doing budgets and you had to budget for $11,355 a month for your building, and then it becomes $21,000 overnight. We actually challenged it, and then he put it up more. Well, we said, oh, you know, look, we're a community group. And he's like, I don't care, it's now more. And so I was like, okay, good, God. So now we have to save $1 million, but now we also have to come up with double our rent from the same people. God is so faithful. You know what? You as a church never missed a beat. It was like, well, I don't think we even talked about it really. And our tithes went up. Now, here's the thing about tithes. Just so you know, your weekly giving here does not go towards our future building. Your weekly giving goes into everything this church can do in the community. It covers the rent for this building. It covers the youth ministry, the young adults ministry. Beacon to Care. Like, I mean, everything that functions here is because of your weekly giving. That's why, like, Beck and I are tithers. We put the full 10%. We do not go, well, that's almost 10. Because we trust God. I've done it for 20 years. Like, I don't go, oh, well, I kind of give my time. That's like worth, like, my time, my hourly rate's pretty high. I don't do that. I just go, God, you've asked me to give 10%. I know that you don't talk about it in the New Testament, but I do see you going to temple to pay it. And like, you are today the same yesterday, today, forever. So I'm just going to put you first. I trust you with my tenth. I do it first. We do it first. Anyway, the tithes went up to sustain the rent. We never missed a beat. By faith. I'm telling you, I don't know how, because we definitely didn't say, you need. It was just like, God, you got to do it. Like, if we're going to, and so we just kept going forward. By the way, July 1, he's put up our rent by another $100,000 a year. $100,000 a year he's gone up. July 1. Now, here's the thing. I don't care. We're looking at solutions. We're looking at all sorts of stuff. We go, God, you've done it before. You'll do it again. Now, here's the thing. Some of you just went, oh, no. He's done it before. The victory is in his hands. And he's going to show off, and you're going to go, oh, look what God did, not what Az did. I just relinquish it. God, it's your church. You grow your church. You do it. He did it last time. We've never missed a beat, and he'll do it again. That year, I was like, God, we got to get to $1 million. I know that's the stone we've got to throw at the giant. Now, in that time, an individual came to me, a guy came to me, and started actually making some complaints to me about how we have money in a bank account for a building. Why do you need a building? You know, rent's cheap, you know, like, why do you need a building? You shouldn't have money in an account for a building. And I'm like, well, God's called us to get a building. And we're going to be faithful with what God's called us to. We already know the rent doubled 3 years ago, and it's only going to keep going up. In fact, if we were in our new building right now, it'd be cheaper for us to be there now than renting here. God showed that 5 years ago, that was going to happen. At the time, it was cheaper to be here. But this is how crazy, if you don't move and you listen to the naysayer, but in that time, he was sort of like, you know, I just feel like the church should be helping while they're, and I, you know what? As a group of leaders, we went, God, what can we do with, while we're saving for a building, this finance, we're earning a little bit of interest. At the time, it was about 2.5%. What can we do with what you've given us while we wait? The Holy Spirit downloaded it to us as a leadership team and said, hey, why don't you, because within INC, we can put our savings into an account that offsets other churches' debts. Now, if you have a home loan, you understand you can have an offset account. Saves the interest. And when you have a commercial interest rate, it can be up about 7.5%, 8%. Instead of earning 2.5%, we could save someone else 8% of their debt to bless another church. And so we just decided, let's bless two churches that are going through it right now, that are financially just doing it hard. And so we asked INC, we prayed about it. There were two churches, one in Mackay, Impact Church in Mackay, Tweed Gathering. Locke Jones was here a few weeks ago. We said, let's put close to $500,000 in both of your accounts to save you the interest. It actually, over that period of time, before we bought our building, it saved about $80,000. We gave $80,000. Real savings for these churches. You sowed into the kingdom. And what happened was the finance got turned into seed and God multiplied it. In 2024, we actually didn't set a figure. We had about 730,000 in our accounts for the building. Now, some of you are doing some numbers, and you're like, hang on, but I'll explain that in a second. We were $270,000 off the goal of 1 million. And you know what God told me? He said, don't ask them, just say there's no pressure to give. You don't have to give. But so I shared a message on Gideon on the 12th of September. By the way, in 2024, we didn't do legacy in the middle of the year. Why? Because June came around when we were supposed to do it, and the Holy Spirit said, no, give them reprieve. Wait. So we didn't. We did it in September. What's crazy, there was a guy in my church who came up, a guy in this church who came up to me in September. He said, you know what? I'd said to God, God, this year I'm not going to give anything to legacy. And then you didn't do it. And then you did it in September. By that time, God had changed my heart. Sucker. No, I'm joking. We love you if you're listening. But I really felt the story of Gideon where, you know, Gideon had a massive army and then God kept diminishing it and saying, all you need is 300 men. And I said that in the 12th of September last year. Listen to it. I said, hey, some of you need reprieve. You just can't do it this year. Just take a break. Don't do anything. But, you know, all it takes is a few people who have the vision, who've caught it, said, let's do something amazing and you contribute. You can contribute. All you need is 300 men to defeat the massive armies against them. You know what's crazy? This week I said to Beck, because Beck's the numbers person in regards to the back end, she can look it up. So can you find out how many people have given since 5 years ago, like individual people, like not families, but individual names of people. And she came back, she didn't know this, but she comes back to me yesterday, she goes, as I look at it, there's 300, maybe up to 400, but it's 300 that have given in the last 5 years, individual names. All it takes is 300 to take down a giant. I mean, I'm telling you, God is so creative. He's so funny. And I'm like, wow, only 300 individual names have done this. This is insane. But those individuals obviously represent entire families and community, but amazing. So we offset our amount. We had about 950,000. And then last year, God unlocked the door. And I was like, but God, you said a million. I'm happy for the building, but you said a million. And we looked into the interest we would have earned from our money that we gave away instead of earning it. It was the difference to make up exactly $1 million, like right on the spot. So God went, you gave it away? Great. Let's fast track it. Almost $1 million on the dot. So we got this building. Put up the shed again. And I shared the whole story. I mean, crazy. We bought it, then they went and sold it to someone else. It was 6 weeks of praying and going, God, and then it collapsed. It came back. God saved us 300,000 in the process. Then overnight, saved us another 300,000 in stamp duty. It was just like miracle on miracle on miracle for this building. We bought it for $5.2 million. Right now, we're servicing 3.4. Get your head around that. Like God is doing some amazing, amazing stuff. So what happened since last year? Last year, I just see God in all this all the time. And I felt like we asked what it would cost us to fit it out to get into the building first stage. Like, what does it take to get this giant shed looking half decent, good decent, with a vision to make it look beautiful and be a place for the community? And we got a builder. He said, look, $1.5 million you'll need. And so last year we said, look, $1.5 million. And who knows, prices went up again. Another giant, who cares? Let's just swing a rock, like. So, $1.5 million. I said, look, last year we talked about it. This is the last year. Hand on heart, I know that you know. We don't talk about this every week. We hardly talk. Like we said, we need to raise $1.5 million before we move in. That's really what we need to get started to get in. And just so you know, this is the update for 20. And this is blows my mind. In the last year, this is the number that's come in. You can applaud yourself. Now, what's crazy? What's crazy about this? 430, more than ever before. No major giver. Same people. What? Are you all millionaires? You just haven't told me? Like, I mean, what's really interesting is that you pledge, like, in fact, at the end of the service, we'll give you a card. Have you got one of those cards there? if you can get one for me, Kate. But we'll give you a card. Every year we say, hey, would you just pray about it? And would you just decide in your heart what God would like to give? Not out of compulsion, but with a joyful heart. What would you like to contribute to our future? And actually, that number there, there's actually, right now, this is the outstanding number for the number of pledges still to come in. And look, I believe that can still come in the next 4 weeks. If you want to, now here's the thing, if you can't, don't bother. Don't worry about it. Don't stress. Just honestly take that pressure off. But one thing I do want to say is if God put a vision in your heart to be part of this last year and you put in one of these cards and said, I want to contribute, even if you can't do the full amount, this is my challenge to you. Do something. God, just use a seed. I really wanted to give this large amount and that didn't happen. I didn't sell the house the way I thought. This didn't happen. Do something. God's just like, be faithful in little. Just something little. Just do something between now and June. If we actually brought that in the next 4 weeks, it would be the first year in the history of this church to bring in $500,000 in a year. Now, what's interesting about that is in the first year we started Legacy, I remember after that $254,000 came in, gosh, we're running late. I'm sorry. After that 254 came in, one of the staff members at the time came to me and said, because I'd been sharing a story, there was a church on the Gold Coast years ago that blew my mind that in one weekend they said they had a vision for a building and in one weekend $1 million came in. Like $1 million in one weekend. It literally transformed the city of faith. Like people were just like, if God can do it for them, he can do it for them. It was just wild, right? And I remember sharing this with one of the staff members at the time, and he kept saying to me after year one, is next year our $1 million year? And I'm like, no. Like, this is too much, you know? So I said, no. And I've always thought about that. This is our sixth year. This is our $1 million year. I said last year, $1.5 million will get us in. Pretty much $500,000's come in. And it actually doesn't seem that unachievable now because I'm like, all we have to do is just double what we did last year. But here's the thing that I want to share with you. As I've been praying, this has been prayer, nonstop, constant prayer for 5 years, now going to our six. There's a couple of things that we need to get really serious about in the next 12 months. And the first thing is not finance. The first thing is prayer. I'm serious when I say this. I've been praying nonstop for 5 years and God just keeps coming through. We need to be disciplined in our prayer. There's a reason that we run men's and women's prayer at this church because it is the engine room of what God wants to do. Without prayer, without being in relationship with God, you'll never have faith to step out. You have to have a heart of prayer. And I want to say it in the last few weeks, it gets cold in the morning, it gets dark. When for men's prayer, get there. Can you just join us in strength of prayer? You might not have a dollar to your name, but you have a voice that can talk to God. And I want to pray with you every week. I want this church, you know, we'll do a worship night. Everyone will come out. We do a prayer meeting and you're like, that's more important, by the way. Prayer is powerful. Prayer last year unlocked when everything was hopeless. Contract collapsed. God came through. It was prayer. It was prayer. God has moved on our behalf time and time and time and time again. It is prayer that we need. We need to be a church of prayer. Talk to God. Be a prayer. This next year, the biggest giant ahead of us ever is the biggest yet. I mean, the next 12 months is the biggest ever. I mean, it's going to be a year of sacrifice. It's going to be a final push. I'm going to say this is a final push to get into this building. And why are you saying, it's a final push? Well, Holy Spirit's been stirring me about what the scriptures say about fields in the Bible and places of harvest. And if you didn't know this, in Leviticus 25, it says this, the Lord said to Moses at Mount Sinai, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I'm going to give you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years sow your fields and for 6 years prune your vineyards and gather their crops. But in the seventh year, that's next June, the land is to have a year of Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. Do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the grapes of the unintended vines. The land is to have a year of rest. Next year, we're not doing a legacy. This is it. By faith, we will see $1 million come in. In fact, we've got $3.4 million that is outstanding on the current building. I'm believing that will be gone too. I'm believing God is going to stir the hearts of our people and God is going to do miraculous things. Next year, we will not have a legacy season because we're going to get the keys and start moving into our future. This is the sixth year. We will bring everything we can. We will bring our best. I'm telling you, Beck and I have been talking. We're going. We're going places we've never been. It's terrifying, but I know God. I'm part of Judah. We are giant killers. Not everyone in the community are giant killers. There were 11 or 10 spies that was part of the same community went, not for us. Caleb went, give it to me. Beacon, you're part of a giant killing community. Over the last 5 years, just to give you, we're going to put it up on the screen. This is actually the number that's been raised by you. Look around. We are not that big. What? That is insane. He's done it before and he'll do it again. He will unlock heaven. He will unlock heaven. Luke 16, 10 to 12 says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, notice this, that God connects worldly wealth with spiritual stuff. This is crazy. Notice this. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? What is true riches for God? Salvation. Souls. So if you can't be trusted with the worldly wealth, you can't be trusted with souls. But on the flip side, if you can be trusted with worldly wealth, oh my gosh, he'll bring the souls. It's crazy. It's in the scripture. It talks about it. And I know that we are trustworthy with worldly wealth because we have stewarded everything. In fact, there's a slide up here just to show you the numbers. This is actually a graph of everything that's happened. You'll notice the orange stuff. You're like, well, where's the numbers come from? The orange is Beacon Care, okay? The orange stuff is actually space we can't put towards a building, but we're putting towards community stuff as well. People need that tax deductibility, okay? We understand that. It's still going to the things of God, but we can't put it towards the building. That's why we're at the number we're at. But this has been the last 5 years. We're in the sixth year. I hope that inspires you. We want to reach the Redlands for Christ. This is not about a building. This is about people meeting Jesus, souls saved, about true riches. And that's what we're going to do. So today, sorry for going over time, but I wanted to share the whole story. Just take one of these. We're going to hand them out. Just take one of these and pray about it. Go, God, what do you want me to contribute with a joyful heart? Not with any kind of, oh, I need to give. If you have that feeling, oh, I need to give, don't do that. Keep praying about it. God will still challenge you to do something. But I believe that wholeheartedly in this sixth year, we are going to miracle after miracle after miracle. That everyone, the whole point is that at the end of the day, everyone goes, look what God did, not what As did, not what Beacon Church did. It's like, what? Like, look what God did. That's insane. And so I'm believing that this is going to be a year of miracles. You can take one of those. I hope you're excited to be part of this community. Yeah. I hope you're excited. Hey, before we go, though, I just want you to bow your heads. Actually, let's just all stand up. So we're going to pray. First and foremost, we're going to pray and agree that God will unlock the door for our change of use. Before we can do anything, before we can even start in the shed, the council has to say you can turn it into a church. Can I say, we were in a meeting last week and one of the conversations was, oh, I don't think it's going to happen. I'm like, you don't know my God. It's the same conversation about where are you going to buy a building in this city? That's what you don't know my God. Here we are, all right? And so we're people of faith. And so can you just pray with me as we pray for that to begin with? Jesus, we just thank you for this church. We thank you for this season. We thank you for the miracles that have already been unlocked. God, you own everything. God, we thank you. You're going to do some miraculous stuff. We're going to laugh at your goodness. But Jesus, right now, we lift up all of this stuff, submissions to council, God. We need to move into that shed. God, you have to unlock things that people say can't be done. We ask that you would move on our behalf. Holy Spirit, would you move the hearts of this city to say you can have this as your home. God, we ask for every bit of provision to unlock. And God, I just pray for our people as we seek you, as we seek you. God, remind us that we have giant killer in our DNA, that we are part of your tribe, Jesus, the tribe of Judah. God, that we run at giants. We're not the people of negative words. God, I pray that in this next season, 12 months, we're in the final hour, the sixth year. God, that you would stir hearts, that we would all respond and do what you call us to. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.